You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S,
team. Yo, Dodgers fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bars on the market. You can get $10 off your first box at BuiltBar.com with the promo code Locked On. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, and with me is Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, real quick, we did not wish you guys on Friday, so to all the mothers that listen to this podcast, happy belated Mother's Day. Jeff, how was your Mother's Day?
My Mother's Day was good. I got to see the mother of my children and the mother of me, and I like both of them quite a bit, so it was good.
Yeah, not too bad. Probably didn't involve biscuits like Joe Davis's Mother's Day, but I probably, you know, still fun, I would imagine.
Yeah, biscuits are an everyday thing.
Yeah. So on today's episode, we're going to talk a little bit about the news on the MLB draft being reduced to 5 rounds this year, and then a little bit on the reports that there might be a universal DH if there is a season this year. But before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, Jeff, so we had pretty much seen this news for the most part. It was basically came down to if the MLB draft would be between 5 or 10 rounds, reduced from the usual amount of 40. The final number, it appears to be 5 rounds. Everyone that is undrafted will be able to sign at a maximum of $20,000. It seems like nobody really liked this based on reports from the media, but what do you think about this?
Yeah, it's really weird. The reports, basically, it sounds like most of the GMs and front offices were pushing for a longer draft, and it was actually the owners pushing for a shorter one just to save money. And so this wasn't even usually it's you have ownership and the players union, but this time it was ownership fighting against their own people, pushing for, you know, from a baseball standpoint, only having 5 rounds is silly. There's plenty of talent. Obviously, if you get drafted, not very many, you know, 7th rounders end up becoming big stars, but plenty to make it worth it. I've always thought 40 rounds was kind of excessive anyway. Hardly anybody who's drafted after the 25th or 30th round signs anyway. It's mostly, you know, some teams just stop drafting anyway, and for the most part, it's just kind of nobody's, you know, and so I have no problem with them cutting it down from 40, but 5 rounds, especially when you factor in how much money it's actually saving, which I've seen estimates, it's about $1 million per team. Obviously, $1 million is a lot of money to you and me. It's not a lot of money to a Major League Baseball organization, and so it seems really short-sighted in the long run. You know, it probably doesn't change things too much, assuming it is really just a one-year thing. The big people it affects is college seniors who, you know, it's their last chance at getting drafted. Everybody else, you know, most guys who get drafted are college juniors or high school, and all those people still have options. I expect we'll see a lot of college juniors decide to go back to school for their senior year, maybe. But yeah, I don't know. It seems really short-sighted and penny pinching.
Yeah, you know, definitely helps the owner's pockets. I think it's going to be, somehow it's going to have a big effect on the future, short-term future of the product. of minor league baseball because, yeah, only five rounds, okay. But a lot of those guys, like I said, that are drafted in the 6 to 10 round, if they're a junior, they can go back. Actually, college seniors could go back theoretically if they wanted to. They were NCAA granted spring athletes another year of eligibility. I think there's a couple options that are going to happen. I think you get a huge influx of high school seniors going to a JUCO for 1 year and hoping the draft gets back to normal next year and trying to get drafted like that. Or you see, you know, a bunch of players that maybe, or a lot of guys start going to college or even JUCO or university. And then you see a lot of less talented guys signing for that 20,000 to fill up the minor league rosters. And then the minor league rosters, you know, maybe get downgraded in talent a little bit the next couple years. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to go, but it's definitely, you know, those are definitely possibilities where it can have watered down minor league for a couple of seasons, especially if some of these big time high school seniors go to universities. That puts them out of the draft for what, 2 years? So, or two or three years. So, yeah, I think JUCO baseball is going to get a large influx of talent next year. And I think it's possible that some minor league baseball is going to lose a lot of talent. But we'll see how it shakes out. Maybe just a lot of guys are going to sign for that 20K. And what basically becomes free agency on the fairest of terms. So for teams, you know, like the Dodgers, it might shake out in their benefit this way. Because, you know, if every team can offer you 20K and you have 10 teams offer you 20K, why wouldn't you pick the Dodgers or some other top flight organization?
Yeah, I predict that roughly zero guys who sign for the 20K bonus will ever make the big leagues. I don't think there's much advantage to be had there, because I think anybody who's a real major league prospect is going to want to go back into the draft where they can get some real money. I think that 20,000 figure was pretty explicitly put there to discourage anybody from signing anybody, because nobody worthwhile, like you said, it'll be fillers for minor league teams. And so I don't see much benefit there. I do think, you know, most guys who are drafted below the fifth round start off in rookie ball anyway. And so, you know, I think overall on the minor league systems, we're seeing a pretty minimal impact, assuming it is just the 1 year. You know, I think AAA will be roughly what it's been. AA will be roughly what it's been. High A will be roughly what it's been. You know, it'll be low A and rookie ball that are impacted a little bit. And, you know, so like I said, assuming it's just 1 year, I don't know that it'll be that big a deal. But yeah, I mean, it's cutting the draft into, you know, 1/8 of what it normally is. It's really, really crazy, and it will, you know, I feel bad for the 1,000+ guys who were going to get drafted. You know, even guys who don't sign, it's still, you know, you still meet people once in a while. Oh yeah, I was drafted by the Padres out of high school, and you know, it was 38th round, so I went to college and then I blew up my arm or whatever. But you know, that's something you can always say. I was drafted by a major league team. I had a buddy in high school who got drafted by the White Sox, and you know, it was a favor because somebody on the White Sox knew his dad, but still it's bragging rights, you know? So even for the guys who don't ever make the big leagues, getting drafted is a cool thing. And it sucks that there's 1,000 guys who aren't going to get to experience that this year anyway.
Yeah. It's definitely sucks on that end. And you know, we'll see what happens on the impact. I know they said that next year's draft might be impacted, but who knows? We'll see when that time comes. We are going to talk a little bit about the possibility of a universal DH, but before we do that, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bars are tasty. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They're all chocolate. Some are nut free. Some are not nut free. The nut free ones are made in a completely different place. So if you have a nut allergy, you don't have to worry about that. They got a bunch of amazing flavors. They're soft, easy to chew. They're healthy. That's the big point. Not only do they taste good, but they're healthy. They're healthier than, you know, Clif Bars and some of those other bars that are out there on the market. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Everything you could want in a protein bar, Built Bar has got it. And right now you can get $10 off at BuiltBar.com with the promo code Locked On. You just have to go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code Locked On for $10 off your first order. Now let's talk about Willie Mays a little bit. I know this is a Dodgers podcast, but it's also sponsored by the audiobook edition of 24, Life Stories and Lessons from the Say Hey Kid. And this reflective and inspirational memoir, the legendary Willie Mays shares the inspirations and influences responsible for guiding him on and off the field. Widely regarded as one of the greatest all-around baseball players in baseball history, the beloved Willie Mays offers people of all ages his lifetime of experience, meeting challenges with positivity, integrity, and triumph. This special audiobook includes a foreword read by Bob Costas and a bonus conversation with Willie Mays and his co-author John Shea. Whether you're missing your favorite players on the field or if you're looking for the perfect Father's Day gift, 24 is the story and the book that you need. Buy the audiobook edition of 24 now, wherever audiobooks are sold. And keep it locked on, Dodgers. All right. So this week, the theme on the Locked On Network is what ifs. And we are going to regulate it or put it between segments or replace the obscure former Dodger. Today it is replacing the obscure former Dodger. And it's one we touched a little bit on last week, and one that still is a running joke today, especially with the fake Ned Coletti account. And that is the Dodgers trading Carlos Santana to the Indians for Casey Blake, a short-term move that, you know, paid off decently for the Dodgers in the short term, but obviously not as much in the long term. Carlos Santana went on to have a nice time with the Indians, came up in 2010, played a little bit there, and then kind of became a regular in 2011. And Casey Blake, you know, actually had a decent time when he came over to the Dodgers in 2008. He had 0.9 WAR in 58 games. He had 4.6 WAR in 2009, and then 2.7 WAR in 2010, and then didn't play as much in 2011 and had 0.9 WAR. So, I mean, in the short term, Casey Blake, I don't know if he made, obviously the Dodgers went to back-to-back NLCS appearances in those times, but I'm not sure if it was really on the back of Casey Blake, which it really wasn't, but he definitely helped them get there. I don't know. Obviously, having him there instead of Carlos Santana in that exact position was beneficial to the Dodgers. But then, as we saw, Carlos Santana became a very good player in his own right and might have helped the Dodgers more so in the long term. But, Jeff, what do you think about this trade this what if?
It's an interesting one because, you know, so many trades are trading a prospect for somebody who can help the team now. And, I mean, really, this is a trade that worked out for both sides. Like you said, you can't tell what would have happened if they didn't have Casey Blake. But he was definitely solid for the Dodgers, you know, when he came over. And Santana turned into about what the Indians hoped they were getting. He didn't stick at catcher, and I don't think that surprised too many people. That would have been the really interesting thing if he had stayed with the Dodgers, is what they would have done position wise. He did play a lot of DH over the years. He's been in the American League his whole career except for 2018. He had 1 year with the Phillies, and his 1 year with the Phillies was not ideal. It was probably his worst season of his career, or one of his worst seasons. Maybe 2015 was worse. But a lot of that was because he doesn't have defensive value. And so, you know, the Dodgers would have had to turn him into, you know, the Indians tried him at third, and then they eventually moved him to first base and, you know, back and forth a little bit. And so the defensive question marks, I don't know if he really would have worked out as a Dodger. And so as much as his bat would have been nice to have in the lineup, I don't know really that they would have had a place for him.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of the Willie Calhoun vibes for those fans of recent times. But yeah, it'll always be a what if. And we'll have more as it comes. We'll try to avoid the super major ones. I know this one's a little bit major, but obviously, you know, Pedro Martinez, what if, is something everyone goes through. So, but we'll come up with more as the week goes on. Let's get into this Universal DH talk. So Joel Sherman came out with an article, and he said that one of the part of the plans that kind of came over the weekend, which is similar to the plan we've been seeing starting in July, about an 80-game season. Hopefully in most teams will use their own ballpark, but if not, they will use some kind of park near them or something like that, because there will be no fans, at least at the beginning. But the one was that the DH will be used in both leagues. It says in part to protect pitchers who will have to ramp up to pitch in a shortened second spring. Don't know if we've ever had this full-fledged discussion on a universal DH in general, but Jeff, what do you think about it for at least this season and what that means for maybe having it in the future?
I think it makes a lot of sense for 2020 for a lot of reasons. You know, with it, it's just a weird season, especially if they do want to do this 3-10 team divisions thing that has been floated around, which I'm on record as thinking that's a dumb idea. I think you could do the same thing while keeping the six existing divisions. But even if you did that, if they decided, okay, the Dodgers are only playing the nine other teams in the two West divisions, and having kind of a balanced schedule against those nine teams, that still means they're playing half their games against American League teams. And at that point, I think it would be silly to play under different rules when half your games are against the other league. And so I think it makes sense to do it for 2020. The big question mark for me is whether this would be what some might want to call a slippery slope, or at least a foothold and a foot in the door of the Universal DH for good. Because I think once they do it, it's going to be hard to go back. Not impossible, because it is clearly unique circumstances, but I think there would be a lot of momentum towards just keeping it.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest part of it is, if you do it in 2020 and there's really no bad part, like, you know, there's no downside to it, which can't imagine there really is a downside to it, then, you know, why not implement it further across and make it universal? And like I said, for 2020, it's perfect. There will be a lot of moving parts, a lot of pitch, especially like for National League teams, pitchers early on, if they're only able to go four or five innings a start, you gotta get into your bench a little bit earlier, even with extended rosters. It's still, you know, you never want to use a pinch hitter in the fourth inning if you can save them for later on and kind of play more matchups as the time goes on. So for 2020, it's perfect. And honestly, I think it's just, honestly, I think if it happens, it's going to show those people that are against it that they might like it more than they think. And well, specifically relating to the Dodgers too, it's beneficial. The Dodgers have way more than eight guys that can start every night and hit and be out there. So it's way more beneficial to the Dodgers than maybe some other teams. And it also would be less beneficial to some Dodgers pitchers. They're not going to get that almost basically a guaranteed out every time through the lineup. So it'll maybe put both leagues on a more level playing field. I know with the increased interleague play and everything else, it doesn't really matter in the long run. But, you know, putting it down, it kind of puts more everyone on a more, like I said, universal playing field. And we can kind of see numbers skew a little bit to that way.
Yeah, and I think it would benefit the Dodgers more than probably any other National League team, because, you know, the whole offseason was built around regular rules. And so nobody has built a team with the idea of having a DH. The Dodgers are one of the few teams that would go into the season trying to find enough at-bats for everybody who deserves at-bats anyway. You know, as it stands right now, guys like Chris Taylor and Matt Beattie and Kike Hernandez don't have many at-bats available. And so having that DH spot open up, you know, and that, you know, or a guy like Edwin Rios, you know, there's plenty of at bats there, or plenty of Dodger players who are ready to get at bats that they probably deserve. You know, we've talked about how AJ Pollock and Jock Peterson could combine to be the best left fielder in baseball. Well, I think a combination of Chris Taylor and Matt Beatty could be a pretty darn solid DH, definitely the best National League DH probably, just because if everybody's throwing a bench player at this spot, well, the team with bench players who deserve to be starters is probably going to have the advantage.
Hey, the Marlins could throw Matt Kemp at DH and take over the NL East.
yeah, that's definitely an option for sure.
Yeah, but yeah, like I said, it benefits the Dodgers. It's going to help them out. And I'm honestly interested to see it. While, you know, seeing Rich Hill bat is fun, you know, not in just baseball purism fun, but, you know, it's fun to watch. It's not pretty to watch, but it's fun to watch. We'll lose that, but I'm not going to really be opposed to losing that anyway. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny to watch. I'll give you that. Yeah, I would definitely, in general, I'd rather watch guys who are good at hitting hit, and guys who aren't good at hitting not hit. So DH, for the most part, falls in line with that. I'm a National League fan. There's definitely a part of me that believes that the National League is true baseball and the American League is fake baseball. But when it gets down to it, if I'm paying good money to watch a baseball game, I want to watch people do things they're good at. And pitchers are not good at hitting and never have been good at hitting and never will be good at hitting, no matter what they try to do. So it's kind of silly to keep making them hit.
Yep. All right, I think that will wrap it up for that. You got anything else before we head out, Jeff?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I think that's mostly what I wanted to talk about today.
Yeah, I got one thing. So AJ Pollock posted a couple hours ago on his Instagram, happy first Mother's Day to his wife. They welcomed a beautiful baby girl by the name of Maddie May. However, she did arrive early, at only 24 weeks, was 1.6 pounds. And, you know, they said the past 7 weeks, they've gone through about every emotion, and she's progressing well. She's well over 3 pounds now, but obviously probably still has a long way to go to make sure she's completely healthy and ready to get back into the real world. So every, you know, positive vibes and everything to the Pollock family and to Maddie May. And we look forward to seeing her maybe at Dodger Stadium, or at least watching the game somewhere sometime this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck to them. That's a scary time, and I'm glad that she's doing well.
Yep. All right. That will do it for today's episode. Thank you guys for listening. Again, quick shout out to all the mothers again. We missed you on Friday, but technically today is Mother's Day, so we still got you anyways. Make sure to keep listening. I know it might be hard to find a routine to listen to podcasts, or if you're stuck at home watching kids or whatever else you're doing. I know it's hard, but if you can find a way to get us in there, we appreciate it. Make sure to download, listen, subscribe, rate, and review. Do all that fun stuff. If you want to follow us on social media, we are on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, you can do so at 323-863-LOCK. That's 323-863-5625. Or shoot us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
And now tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On MLB. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Say D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!